God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. And the Lord said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. So elections have consequences, is the saying. It's true. And I'm hoping that the consequences stick. There's still a great number of people, among them dear family members of mine, who are utterly terrified of President Trump, utterly terrified of Elon Musk, and believe that Elon Musk is going about starving people in Africa because he hates them. It's a very, very real feeling they have. I don't concur. I don't think there's any signs that Elon Musk hates people. But let's remember something about Elon Musk. This is not a Christian man. Far from it. This is a man now with 13 children and I believe four or five mothers. And most recently, a conservative influencer announced that she'd had Elon's 13th baby. I think this is now four or five children under the age of five from three different mothers. Let's remember that Elon Musk wants to put computer chips in your brain, and let's remember that we need to be absolutely wide-eyed and sober and check all spirits and realize the fruits of Elon Musk. Inventions? Absolutely. Using our tax dollars to start companies? Yeah. I'm not certain we ever got paid back for Tesla. I still don't think we did. He's doing great things financially. And in uncovering fraud, and God can use all sorts of broken vessels, and maybe this is an opportunity for Elon to actually allow God into his heart. After all, he was brought into this battle partly because of what the transgender cult, the lie of transgenderism, did to his one of his kids, one of his 13, from different mothers. And that brought him into the battle. But they also went after his companies and his paychecks, and that also animated him. God can use all sorts of broken vessels, but let's remember to be wide-eyed about Elon Musk, both as a man and as a man in a spiritual battle, because we're all in spiritual battles. Now, elections have consequences, and I hope those consequences stick in many ways. Pete Hegseth, U.S. Army, he's the Department of he runs the Department of Defense, Secretary of Defense, a tweet from the U.S. Army. U.S. Army soldiers who were separated due to COVID, so-called vaccine refusal, you're welcome to return. You can still be all you can be with back pay. Watch this space for details. In the meantime, hit the gym. And that CC'd his official account, SecDef, Pete Hegseth, Elon Musk, Department of Defense, POTUS. Great news. That never should have happened. Now, let's do something else. Let's go pay money. And let's make it combat pay for the soldiers who were killed by these injections. Because I personally know secondhand of at least one who dropped dead during PT. An elite of the elites physically was doing a physical test. He'd never failed one until he had a heart attack and died during one. Very young man. That only happened after the injections. He hadn't become unhealthy. He hadn't become overweight. He didn't have any heart issues, no blood issues. The injections killed him. So let's go pay his family for combat pay because he was effectively fighting his own government. RFK Jr. is going to be, he is, the Secretary of the National Institute of Health. So he runs the thing. And he's off to some good starts in some ways. And there's a lot he could do. And I'm still trying to figure out if he's real. He's absolutely real on the topic of nutrition. He was on Fox News talking about the most poisonous chemicals in our foods, the top most poisonous chemicals and agents in our foods. And I know he has great zeal for that. And the Lord has given him a fire in his heart for that. And just like Elon Musk, let's remember this, Robert Kennedy is an abortion extremist and had been until 5 minutes ago a climate extremist, an anti-gun extremist. Let's be wide-eyed and let's remember that God can use any vessel, broken or otherwise. RFK Jr. was sworn in the Oval Office. President Trump was there, obviously, during the swearing in. And it was a moment that I'm going to remember for a long time because I didn't know that this moment would ever come.
I, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.,
I, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.,
do solemnly swear,
do solemnly swear,
that I will support and defend,
that I will support and defend,
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
against all enemies,
against all enemies,
foreign and domestic,
foreign and domestic,
that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same,
that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same,
that I take this obligation freely,
I take this obligation freely,
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr.
It's a big deal. And you would think that the media would be treating this differently and that a Kennedy is once again back up into the levers of power of the United States. RFK Jr. has said a lot of things about the injections, the COVID shots. He said a lot of things about vaccines. That's been his career, trying to protect people, kids, from these harms. He's already addressing Gladasil. This is the HPV so-called vaccine that doctors had succeeded in the state of Texas. A supposedly conservative governor there, Rick Perry, passed a diktat forcing girls to get injected with that, even though the HPV virus is only passed through sexual contact. They've tried to force this into boys. The 72 injections we give kids in the first months of life are, in fact, not safety tested, not even a little bit. So this is something RFK Jr. can address, and he does intend to address right away. But about the COVID shots, they are safety tested. Well, I mean, they didn't really safety test them before they started injecting people. After all, there was no time. I mean, yes, the designs for the injections had existed for 2 years. The patents on the virus had existed for 2 years. They knew what they were creating. Therefore, they knew what the cure was, although it wasn't a cure at all. That safety test was run in the bodies of Americans and, well, everyone globally. Not everyone. I didn't take the injections, and maybe you didn't either. That stuff should be pulled now. Immediately. Banned. RFK Jr. is taking an important step, and it might be that he intends to deny his enemies in Washington, D.C., the ability to say, see, he walks in the door and bans stuff. He's creating an actual vaccine reporting system. See, VARS, that database, that's all voluntary. Anyone can report to it. It's voluntary. Doctors are supposed to report to it, but they don't. And in fact, during the COVID era, they were prohibited. Doctors were prohibited from reporting to that during the COVID era. So as HHS secretary, he intends to create an actual vaccine reporting system.
Do you think the COVID vaccine was safe and the boosters were safe? I mean, a lot of people don't talk about adverse effects.
We don't have good data on it, and that is a crime. The fact that we don't have a surveillance system that actually works. Oh, in 2010, CDC has a surveillance system called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And it's supposed to pick up injuries. But CDC did a study of that system in 2010. And that study said, and this is a published study by CDC, that it captures less than 1% of the vaccine injuries. That's inexcusable. Congress has repeatedly, and the Institute of Medicine, the National Academy of Sciences, have repeatedly ordered CDC to put together a better vaccine.
Will you require it?
And we will do that right away.
There's rumors out there that as many as 50% of the employees of HHS will be cut in the restructuring of government that DOGE is helping President Trump carry out. And people are wringing their hands. Your response to that?
I don't know anything about 50% of people being cut. There's 90,000 employees.
They better get their messaging in order. Because if DOGE is saying it's going to be 50%, it needs to be RFK Jr. who's agreeing with that. But on the topic of this database,
There is data. You can simply compare non-injected counties and countries to injected countries. You can simply look at the increase in heart attacks and turbo cancers and miscarriages and the inability to get pregnant. You can look at myocarditis and pericarditis in kids in a side-by-side analysis from Medicare, Medicaid data from one of the states, massive amount of data. All the kids with myocarditis and pericarditis were injected with the COVID shots. All of them, period. So RFK Jr. is maybe trying to play the long game, but it's not a moral game. The moral thing to do is to ban these shots and the mRNA platform until and if it's ever fully safety tested. President Trump himself being used by God in unbelievable ways. President Trump himself, of course, a man with challenges. And I think maturing as a Christian, maturing, as we all are, all of us, me most of all. But President Trump took a good step. It's somewhat ornamental in that many school districts aren't forcing kids to get injected anymore. It'd be better if he did this and banned it in hospitals, but he did something about schools. He signed an executive order halting.
Okay, that solves that problem.
Will the Department of Education have to
handle that? Yes, it'll go through the department.
Department of Education is announcing that they have halted all federal funding for schools that mandate the COVID shots. It's a great first start, and it's only a first start. The fact of the matter is this, that pharma and big beverage and big food, they're not going to go gently into that good night. It's going to have to be a sustained campaign, and sometimes to have a sustained campaign, it's really helpful to have a reason for doing it. I don't want my daughter to develop type 2 diabetes. Do you want your daughter to, or your son? I don't want the kids I work with in the youth groups in which I'm honored to serve and privileged to serve. I don't want to see them grow up addicted to chemicals, vaping or otherwise. I don't want to see them become type 2 diabetics. I don't want to see pharma invade their bodies. Not with mRNA and not with Elon Musk's brain chips. I want us to remember as Christians that we're fighting to preserve the sanctity of God's temple. For all the energy we put into protecting our bodily temple sexually, and of all the effort the American church puts into that, specifically as relates to homosexual activity, but not enough on same-sex activity, not enough on adultery, but also not enough on what is it to protect the temple. Our bodies are a storage place for the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus, agreed to be changed by Him, and are on this walk with Him. And we want that clean. I'm not saying I'm perfect at all. I have my weekly gorge out session on pizza every week. Every Thursday I go and do that. And the rest of the time I try to eat as clean as possible. RFK Jr. is on a mission. He says that he prayed about this. He says that he'd wanted God to give him this opportunity to make America healthy again, but we don't need him. We need the resolve to look through the grocery store aisles and the pharma aisles and remember, a lot of those companies aren't producing food. At the heart of it is chemicals and addiction. And same with pharma. On food, if it looks like it would have in the Garden of Eden, eat it. We'll come back on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get next segment to the Tower Babbling and a personal note and some more emails. I'm trying to be better at getting emails on the program. Speaking of that, I shared last week a segment about a deliverance process that I decided to go through and asked for email feedback on that, and I got a fair bit of it. So if you didn't hear this was on Friday, and I am just still to this day, and it's been almost 2.5 weeks now since I went through this deliverance process with Pastor Robbie Walden. I am astonished at the change in me, even as I sit here today. The peace that surpasses all understanding that I feel, even when there are really challenging bits of news, the peace of mind I have in general, the sense of gratitude that's returned, the joy of sitting here with you. I mean, I've always loved radio, and I really believe that having opened the door to demonic influence, that they're going to take all the ground they can. And they're liars and thieves and murderers, and they distort, they depress, they distract. And they did that to me. And through the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and his magnificent power, he conquered the sting of death, obviously, on the cross. It's gone. My heart has changed. So I will probably explore this more in the program, but I wanted to respond to a note from Ross from Iowa City, Iowa. Dear Mr. Herman, I listened to your program at Disciples View. I don't do podcasting, so I haven't tried your podcast, and I refuse to use YouTube, so I've never seen your YouTube programs. I enjoyed Disciples View. I like that you intertwine God's word into news. I'm very concerned that you spoke about deliverance on the program without having a pastor join you. It's very, very important that people get news about deliverance and opinions about deliverance from trained pastors. I understand that you weren't having a sermon. I understand that you weren't teaching it, but it's vital that you make something clear to people. Do not mess with the demonic on your own. You can't win. Love your program. I appreciate it on AFR. Thank you for what you do, and may God continue to bless you. Ross from Iowa City, Iowa. Ross, thank you so much for that note and for that brotherly kindness. And in fact, during that segment, and I went back and listened, I did say, you cannot take demons on your own. That you can only do it through the power of Christ. And that if we have been saved in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We can't be possessed. We can be. We can have demonic attraction, connection. We can give them legal authority over areas of our life, knowingly or unknowingly. They're very legalistic. They know the word probably better than we do. In fact, undoubtedly better than we do. They simply hate the word. So I did say that to people. And I also did make very, very clear that I think one of my key mistakes was agreeing to battle Satan on his own terms. When that man who pretended to be a woman came and threatened to sexually assault my wife and daughter, I didn't respond in the blood of Christ. I responded as the redneck I grew up as, which was threatening to take his life. And therefore came the spirit of murder into my heart. And I apparently gave unconsciously legal authority for that spirit to harass me. And that legal authority, through the blood of Christ, through the power of the deliverance process, has been withdrawn. So I appreciate the note, Ross, and I appreciate the warning. And yes, don't think that you can personally battle a demon. You invoke the blood of Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. We are delegated powers to banish demons from our midst. But if it's not going away, our spiritual health is every bit as important, in fact, more important than our mental health. And sometimes things simply are mental health. Sometimes they simply are heart issues. Not everything is a demon. So I will continue to share experiences like this on the program because I owe you that. I couldn't do a radio show that was simply, here's the news. I don't think that was God's calling for me. We will talk about the news because there's a much to continue to discuss. And as we are reminded that we are to be in this world and not of it, I want to remind you of a recent happening in England because it relates to something J.D. Vance said. J.D. Vance gave a speech in front of a European security conference, and he chided them for becoming anti-free speech tyrants. He chided them on many other things, like not paying for their own defense, etc., fearing their voters. The Scottish Green Party put out a tweet after J.D. Vance's speech, and they wrote this. J.D. Vance just lied about a bill passed by Scottish Greens, MSP Gillian Mack. He falsely claimed that people in Scotland were told that private prayer in their own homes would be against the law. This has never been true. Huh, is that right? That's interesting because many of us know it to be true. Lois McClatchy Miller, great Scottish name, Politico, British culture, cute servative, comms artist, refugee from sexual revolution, as seen on the BBC, News, Sky Talk, etc. She posted this. Remember that time when the Scottish government told residents they can't pray in their own homes? The Scottish Green Party don't, but J.D. Vance does. And yes, we talked about this on this program. There was a letter from Safer Scotland that went out and it advised people that you cannot pray in your own home if someone might overhear it. They okayed silent prayer for now. But they did not allow you to speak prayers in your own home if someone else might hear it. That's the state of things in England right now, pardon me, in Europe. And J.D. Vance called that out. And for that, wait until you hear what the German defense minister said about that. Here's J.D. Vance.
This last October, just a few months ago, the Scottish government began distributing letters to citizens whose houses lay within so-called safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law. Naturally, the government urged readers to report any fellow citizens suspected guilty of thought crime. In Britain and across Europe, free speech, I fear, is in retreat.
Oh, it's not necessarily in retreat. It's being stomped. There's a man who went to jail for silently praying in his own head. He was leaning against a tree, his back to an abortion clinic, so he couldn't be seen, silently praying, and he was charged with a crime for that. And J.D. Vance went to the security conference and spoke truth about this. And for that, he really got the hackles up of the German defense minister, Boris Pistorius. Now, this might be a little bit of annoying audio here, but I don't speak German, and maybe you don't. So it's translated with a female voice on top of the German defense minister's voice. But the message is important for us to behold. Listen to this.
This is why I cannot just ignore what we heard before. I cannot not comment on the speech we heard by the U.S. Vice President. We fight for your right to be against us. That is the motto, one of the mottos of the Bundeswehr, and it stands for our democracy. This democracy that was just called into question by the U.S. Vice President, and not just the German democracy, but Europe as a whole. He spoke of the annulment of democracy, and if I understood him correctly, he compares the condition of Europe with the condition that prevails in some authoritarian regimes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not acceptable.
Did you get the irony there? Did you get that? It is not acceptable for J.D. Vance to speak freely. J.D. Vance correctly compared Europe to tyrannical regimes because under the European Union, it is tyrannical. On the topic of speech, for certain, just over this past weekend, there was a man who had been out burning a Quran. I mean, obviously, that's going to incite anger. and a Muslim man rushed out of his flat with a knife and attempted to stab the man who had been burning a Quran. He did beat him to the ground and kicked him in the face, and this is all on film. The man who came out and tried to stab him, thank God didn't get that done, he was arrested, he's been charged with some things, and let go. The man who burned the Quran was also arrested and not let go. And that's just speech. Remember that Europe forced the injections on people, tyranny. They are demanding access to your text messages, tyranny. They demanded that ranchers stop providing food and that they cull their entire herds, tyranny. And this is a fact. You want to know what drove Brexit? You know what pushed that over the edge in England? When the European Union in Brussels literally issued a diktat that the British people's tea was too hot and their crisps were too crispy. That's a fact. Had to turn down the temperature on the tea and change the toasters because of the climate and such. Europe is falling into tyranny, being pushed into it. Which side of the spiritual equation likes tyranny? Which side? Jesus Christ never forces himself upon a person. I mean, there'll come a day where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and you're free to live your entire life denying the Lord Jesus, either denying his existence or his majesty or his kingship or his eternal nature or that he is part of the triune Godhead. And you can live your entire life free to do that. Now, if Satan gets a hold of you, he begins stealing your freedom. Freedom to have emotional feelings of joy, gratitude, fulfillment. He's a thief. He forces. What do we see in the European Union? So J.D. Vance had called out the UK authorities for prosecuting Adam Smith Connor. I mentioned him. Adam Smith Connor was the man who was praying silently outside of an abortion clinic. And he was arrested for that.
And perhaps most concerningly, I look to our very dear friends, the United Kingdom, where the backslide away from conscience rights has placed the basic liberties of religious Britons in particular in the crosshairs. A little over 2 years ago, the British government charged Adam Smith Connor, a 51-year-old physiotherapist and an army veteran, with the heinous crime of standing 50 meters from an abortion clinic and silently praying for 3 minutes. Not obstructing anyone, not interacting with anyone, just silently praying on his own. And after British law enforcement spotted him and demanded to know what he was praying for, Adam replied simply it was on behalf of the unborn son he and his former girlfriend had aborted years before. Now, the officers were not moved. Adam was found guilty of breaking the government's new buffer zones law, which criminalizes silent prayer and other actions that could influence a person's decision within 200 meters of an abortion facility. He was sentenced to pay thousands of pounds in legal costs to the prosecution. Now, I wish I could say that this was a fluke, a one-off crazy example of a badly written law being enacted against a single person, but no. This last October, just a few months ago, the Scottish government began distributing letters to citizens whose houses lay within so-called safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law.
And we heard that bit earlier. So J.D. Vance correctly spoke straight to the faces of the bosses of Europe, because that's how they view themselves, the bosses. And he said something really interesting in addition to calling out the fact that they're tyrannical, calling out the fact that they hate speech. He said to them this: if you're running in fear of your own voters, there's little the United States can do for you, if anything. In fact, I think he said there's nothing the United States can do for you if you're running in fear from your own voters. What is it they actually fear? I'll say again what I say from time to time on this program. truth. They fear truth. They fear the truth about mass migration because everybody sees it has destroyed Europe because it is not controlled. It's not thoughtful. They're bringing in people who do not like Europe. In fact, they hate its values. They're terrified that truth will get out. They're terrified that the truth will get out, that they take marching orders from big food and big pharma. And yet the truth is getting out. They're terrified that the truth will get out, that many of them were compromised into pretending boys or girls and pushing for medicalization of so-called gender dysphoria, which is a real thing, but that's not what we're seeing here. We're seeing gender rebellion. They're terrified that truth will get out. They're terrified that people praying outside of abortion clinics might be people through whom God works to bring the truth of this. That God said, you shall not murder. As you treat the least of these, so you treat me. That God's word might make it to other people. It's God's word at the core that they fear, because God himself is the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father but through me. Great news. The bosses of Europe can't win because they're battling God himself. We'll come back under Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. That's Randy back there behind the scenes. Thank you, brother, for always being there, making sure things work well. So many people behind the scenes at AFR. I hope you get a chance to meet them someday. We should have Randy on. I should actually do that. Why haven't I done that yet? Randy, we're going to do a segment together. You and I'd like to have your witness on this program and hear your voice, the people hear voice here. I know they get to read your wife Joy's words. But yeah, let's get you in the air. Before we get to the tire babbling and a personal note, a couple things here that I think are important to note. The NCAA, through executive order, if they don't want to lose federal funding, must restore women's records, titles, and awards that were taken by men. This comes from the Department of Education. Maybe there is a reason for the Department of Education to clean this stuff up. This comes from The Blaze. The Department of Education sent a letter to the NCAA demanding any records or awards taken by males in female categories be returned to their rightful owners. President Trump signed an executive order February 5th aimed at preventing men from competing in women's sports. The order calls for enforcement actions against educational institutions if they force women to participate in sports or athletic events with men, or if they're forced to change in front of them. The Department of Education has since penned a letter to the NCAA President Charlie Baker and Bob Lombardi, President of the National Federation of State High School Associations, meaning that both colleges and high schools were instructed to take action on the restoration of women's athletic records, titles, awards, and recognitions. The letter explained that both the NCAA and NFHS must restore any records, awards, etc. that were wrongfully credited to male athletes. The DOC cited clear national standards from the recent executive order that demanded the NCAA make the necessary steps to align its policy with the federal government, which was described as protecting women from gender ideology extremism while restoring biological truth. Praise God. Now, follow up. Already, there are separate states like California and Washington that have announced, we're not going to do this. We refuse. So take action. Take the funding. All of it. Every cent. For every school in those states. Now, this could have an inverse effect, by the way. It could. And it might be a good effect. It might be that those schools in those separate countries decide to go out and push to self-fund. To increase property taxes, as that's how most school districts are funded. If they do that, that could lead to great change, because people right now are really insulated from the costs of all this indoctrination. And when the property taxes are going up, it might be that people who live in those states might actually have to pay attention as to why they're going up this time. Oh, it's in service of gender ideology? That's why my property taxes are skyrocketing? Yes, that's why. Wouldn't that be a fantastic thing if we were get to witness that? That's waking up of people in these separate states. There's another form of awakening that's happened with President Trump and the way he interacts with the Mockingbird media. Let's remember all the things that CNN has done to him, tried to do to him, the lawsuits they've lost for attacking kids who went to Washington, D.C., the case of the young man that they whose life they just ruined, Jake Tapper losing another court battle for libeling a U.S. Navy veteran. Here's President Trump in the Oval Office as CNN had a question for him.
But many of them, and this should have been done by Biden years ago. This should have never been allowed to happen. I know he's a friend of yours.
But couldn't Putin just withdraw his
He's a friend of
today?
CNN. That's why nobody watches CNN anymore, because they have no credibility. Okay, who else?
I'm sorry. I don't really care for rude behavior. But in the case of CNN, they have earned it. They continue to peddle smear after smear after smear. And it's not that President Trump can't handle it. Very clearly he can. It's the fact that President Trump shouldn't have to handle it, this unfair treatment. And yet he does. On this program, as hard as it can be, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling, starting with an upcoming star in the Democrat Party. By the way, there's a rumor that this guy came to the country illegally, and I'm trying to confirm that. Robert Garcia, a representative, congressman from Texas. He called Elon Musk a expletive, a nickname for male genitalia, is what he called Elon Musk. He was challenged about that.
I want to hear why, but do you think that calling Elon Musk a d- is effective messaging for confronting what is a potentially irreversible transformation of the U.S. government?
Well, he is.
Okay, so doubling down. And incidentally, it might well be an irreversible changing of the United States government. And praise God that it might be, because that has to happen. If that doesn't happen, we're going to be a permanently bankrupt country with absolutely no hope of digging out financially, and debt can be another form of slavery. The Bible warns us against that. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, speaking of CNN, didn't we just speak of CNN? I think we did. Oh, by the way, that was on CNN, Robert Garcia. This is also CNN.
Trump's doing what he promised to do. You go back to April of 2017, it was just 46% of all Americans who said that Trump was doing what he promised to do. Compare that now to February of 2025. You know, there was a good show that was on during the 1990s called A Different World. That is what's going on right now. We're living in a different world. 70% of Americans say Trump is doing what he promised to do.
Praise God that 70% of Americans notice that, because it's new in politics for people to do what they say they're going to do. Barack Obama, our last soundbite, found some government spending he didn't like.
One of the commitments that I made to the American people was that we would do a better job here in Washington in rooting out wasteful spending. We don't need to wait for Congress in order to do something about wasteful spending that's out there.
Huh. He didn't need to wait for Congress. Imagine that. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa.
That is news.
On A Disciple's View.
Appreciate all the emails I get every week. You can email me at thetoddhermanshow.com. Easiest way to do that. On a personal note today, speaking of emails and emails that come into the program, it's an interesting thing as a host for all these years to behold that which really angers people, particularly conservatives and Christian conservatives. And sometimes it's something I wish I didn't see the pattern in. And it's this. I get notes from people whenever I ever suggest that you stop watching specific forms of media or that you unplug cable TV from your house. And I say that for a number of reasons. If you have cable TV in your house, you are writing checks to HBO. And I hear you. You're not subscribing to HBO. It doesn't matter. They get a carriage fee. You are underwriting MSNBC. You're underwriting entertainment that you don't want your kids to watch, and so you don't subscribe, and yet you're paying for it. There's that. But it's really where we get down to the Super Bowl that I get a ton of anger from people. And it so often comes across this way. This is a very, very typical note that I get. And no location on this note, simply a very angry email. I will listen to your radio show and watch your podcast, and it's not to have someone wag their finger in my face. I'm not going to stop watching the Super Bowl because you hate football. I'm not going to quit watching a sport I love and play because of you. I don't care what you think of Kendrick Lamar. I didn't watch the halftime show. I don't care what you think of the NFL. And I'm very, very tempted to tell you just to shove it. I'm so angry that you took airtime and podcast time to talk about this. I'm beside myself. How dare you lecture us about watching one of America's great sports? You need to rethink this because you're losing audience. I responded, and I'm responding now. Why did that make you angry? Of all the things that we talk about on this program and on my podcast, why did that one cause you to write? Because to my recollection, and I searched my emails, this is the first time I've ever heard from you. So what was it in your spirit that caused you to become so angry? What I said in this discussion about the Super Bowl was why I don't watch. The reason I don't watch is because the NFL caused one of my dear friends to be fired for speaking biological truth. He's since passed on and gone to the Lord. His name was Dory Monson. God rest you, Dory. I don't watch the NFL because they actively push the COVID shots and the silly, ridiculous, made-up social distancing and the masking. And they push the notion that men are women. They give money to these causes. I can't watch that. I can't support it with my dollars. But it's so interesting that you wrote into your note that I hate football. I'll tell you on the personal notes here, I loved that game. If you've never played football, tackle football, I can understand why you might not want to. It might look like a painful game, but I loved that game. I love the feeling of team. Something magical about football that I don't think exists with other sports. I've never played basketball, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn here. I wrestled, played football, did a little track. In the case of football, there is such a match between tactics and strategies that if you really ever work for a great football coach or play for one, like I did, I got to play for a high school legend, a guy named Dave Holmes. Dave had been a college coach, very successful. When I walked in to high school football, I got my first playbook, and it was a rules-based playbook. If that, then this. If the defense changes this way, then this. We had to take tests as offensive linemen. We had to take cognitive tests to be able to start on the offensive line. Not about football, cognitive tests. He wanted to make sure we were smart enough to understand the playbooks because of all the audibles that could be called, all the gaps we had to cover. That was one of the most thrilling discoveries I had about football. And when I got asked to play center, What they told me is you have to run the offensive line. You have to be able to check every single play. You have to be able to call out your guards and tackles for blocking assignments. You need to be able to back the quarterback up in this way. The quarterback of the offensive line. I love that role. I loved adjusting immediately to what my running backs were going to do and what the quarterback's going to do. I love the communication as a center between me and the quarterback. Sometimes it's just a nudge. Just the quarterback sees the offense, the defense is not in position, and he sees an opportunity, just a nudge on my back or my butt, and boom, I snap the ball, and we get a 5, 6, 7 yard gain out of a surprise quarterback sneak. I loved tackling people. I love the feeling of tossing a guy to the ground and then helping him up. See, I can love that game, and I do. I also love the feeling of consoling each other in loss. I remember when we lost in the second round of our state playoffs. I played very, very little of those games. I was a young kid. That was a very, very good team. I probably 8, 9 guys got NCAA scholarships. It was a very gifted class of athletes. But I love the feeling in the bus on the way back. We were coming back from the Tri-Cities, Washington. We had played the Richland Bombers, literally bombers, because that's where they made nuclear weapons. And they still do that there. So the Bombers, they until recently had the mushroom cloud. That was their actual, helmet thing, the logo on their helmet. So as we're going home on the bus, having lost in this first round of playoffs, one of the big league guys, one of the starters, walked over and removed the guy who'd been sitting next to me and sat down next to me. And we sat in silence for a bit. And he said, "What are you feeling?" First time a young man had ever asked me that. "What am I feeling? I hate this." "Good, remember it. Commit to feel it as little as possible, because wins are better. But what else do you feel?" "Brotherhood." Yeah, I miss that stuff. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, until the Lord gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families." I'm Todd Herman. On behalf of Randy and AFR, this has been A Disciple's View. Do you